Welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you're brand new with us, we're glad that you found us. Every day we're going to dive into Rick's teachings, and today we're continuing the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Now, in this series, Rick explores how the different Hebrew names of God that are found in the Bible actually illustrate the special ways that God cares for us. His constant presence, His purpose for your life, and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. Okay, and now here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Path to Personal Peace.
Last week we looked at Philippians 4, 6. Look at verse 7 with it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's wonderful peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. That is the path to peace, to trust God's loving care in the situation. Today, I want you to hear the story of Terry and how she's learning to allow the loving care of God work in her life. Would you give her a warm welcome?
Hi, my name is Terry, and I'd like to share with you how God has been helping me learn to walk the path of peace when I face problems that don't seem to make sense and difficulties that I can't change. I grew up in a good moral home and pretty much had a wonderful time growing up. I had a blast in school. I was a gymnast and a song leader. At times, I felt like I had it all. At the end of my senior year, I became a Christian and married Brad, a football star who was headed to USC on a full football scholarship. Life was good. After we got married, Brad wanted kids, and I didn't. But 4 years later, we discovered that I was pregnant, and I was so excited. Just being pregnant made my desire not to have children change. Kara was born 2 months premature. She was so beautiful, but when she was 10 days old, she went into congestive heart failure. She was taken by ambulance to Children's Hospital in San Diego, where they did emergency heart surgery. This was the beginning of a series of uncontrollable problems. After 2 more weeks in the neonatal intensive care unit, they began testing her for other things. The night before we took her home, the neonatologist told me that Kara's heart defects were so severe that she wouldn't live long, that she would eventually be deaf and blind, and that a brain scan showed that atrophy would make her be in a vegetative state. Summarizing all this bad news, he said quietly, "I highly suggest you institutionalize her." That was the end of my easy life. All peace of mind was completely wiped out. Getting all of that information in one sitting was overwhelming. I felt it couldn't be true or that maybe God was doing a miracle here. I had been at the Ronald McDonald House during her stay when Brad had to go back home and go to work. So I was all by myself when I got that news, praying and crying. I thought if I had enough people praying for Kara, then she would be healed. So I called all of my friends all through the night, asking for prayer. I was filled with fear, and friends must have thought I was crazy waking them up. Poor Brad must have been thinking, "Oh, great, I get to pick up my baby tomorrow morning, and on the way home, I'll have to drop my wife off at the nearest institution." The next morning, Kara wasn't healed. We brought home a very sick baby on heart monitors. In the months ahead, it was one difficult day after another. The burden was overwhelming. Finally, I hit my breaking point. I was so tired, I just wanted out of the situation. I thought, if heaven was such a great place, why can't I be there now? It took 3 days for me to make my master plan to take my life. I didn't tell anyone for fear that they might start to try to talk me out of it. I figured the easiest way to be to start the car in a closed garage and just fall asleep. Then I thought, who would take care of Kara? So I decided the best thing would be if we both died. Then I thought further about Brad. It would be awful for him to find us dead. But there was no way that he would come willingly, so I figured I'd have to knock him out and drag him down with me. That was going to be a real problem because Brad was a 6'2" football player and I'm 4'11". Well, the final glitch was that I didn't have a garage. When I told Brad of my depth of despair and my crazy plans, he insisted that I see a Christian counselor. The counselor gently helped me realize that I'd been relying on my own strength to make it through those dark months, and that's why I was so depressed. Instead of trusting God and his loving care, I had been fighting God. It took months, but as I began to accept what could not be changed, and as I leaned on Jesus for strength, slowly the peace of God came back into my life. As time passed, all the doctors reassured us that none of Kara's problems were genetic, and they even encouraged us to have a sibling for her. So with great hope, we planned to have another child. When our second daughter, Taylor, was born, we were ecstatic. She was chubby and cute, but within a couple of days, we learned that Taylor had major medical problems too. My heart sank. Half of her small intestines had died in utero, and she needed two emergency surgeries in just 1 week. She had a colostomy, an ileostomy, a jejunostomy, a cecostomy, and a gastrostomy. After another 2 weeks passed, we were told that they would be taking Taylor off the life support and letting her die in my arms. She was dying of an infection as a result of the bowel surgeries. I was numb. We stood over Taylor's crib in the NICU unit with Brad's wonderful parents and the surgeon and some nurses and a chaplain, and we prayed, and I felt nothing, no anxiety, no thoughts of healing, just nothing. I felt empty inside. But at the end of our prayer, I asked that they would leave my baby on the life support for just a while longer. Somehow I hoped that she might be all right. Well, it took 5 surgeries and 6 months before Taylor would come home, but she did come home with an IV line and a stomach tube. Adding to all this stress were the financial pressures. The hospital bills for our 2 girls ran into the millions, and insurance did not pay for everything, so we were financially devastated. While Taylor was in the hospital, we only had 1 car, and Brad needed it to go back to work. I needed a ride to go to the hospital every day. Our friends were unbelievable. Every day, someone would call and offer their car for a day, a few days, or a week. Then one Sunday, our friends met us for brunch, and afterwards, one of the guys handed Brad a set of keys and motioned to a beautiful gray car with a huge pink bow on the top. They handed us the card that read, "Through your friends, love Jesus." 26 people had contributed to give us that car. God used our friends to show his love for us and gave us encouragement, and still does, to keep going. By this time, Brad and I had given up on the having babies concept. We were doing everything to prevent it, but things happen. It was only 5 days after our 3rd daughter, Paige, was born that we were having to rush her to the hospital for testing. Somehow, I got there. My car just knew the way, handed her to the technician, and did the paperwork with my eyes closed. After the testing, I walked slowly down the hall of the hospital with Paige in my arms. I turned around to see the radiologist, and he said, "My name is Dr. So-and-so, and I know your other 2 children, and I just want you to know that this one is fine." What an angel that man was. He must have known of my struggle with suicide and thought I'd drop her off the nearest bridge on the way home. At Christmas time that year, there were many gifts left on our doorstep, most given anonymously. One package was for me. It was a tiny jewelry box, and inside were beautiful sapphire earrings. Attached was a note that read, "A mother of a handicapped child wore these earrings, and she wants you to have them." At the bottom of the note was the Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." I thought to myself, I don't have a hope. Instead, I had 3 little ones in diapers, 2 with gastrostomy tubes and 1 with severe and mental and physical disabilities. So I put the earrings back into the box because, for me, to accept those earrings, it meant that I would have to accept the truth of that Bible promise. Looking back now, I've learned from experience that whoever gave me those earrings was right. God does have good plans for us, even when it seems the exact opposite. And I've learned the path to personal peace is possible when we accept what comes our way and trust in God's love and care for us. Well, today, Paige is 8 years old and has never had anything more serious than colic. That's the worst, colic. Taylor is a bright, caring 10-year-old who shows almost no effects from her ordeal. The doctors still say, "Do you realize that she's a miracle?" Our Kara still needs special attention. She uses a wheelchair, and she's nonverbal. She isn't deaf, and she isn't blind, and she's far from being in a vegetative state. In fact, she's the most patient and kind little teenager, and she's almost 15 years old and going through a big change in life. Why did God allow Kara and Taylor to suffer so much? I don't know. I wonder now if I even want or even care about getting an explanation for why things happen. That's not as important to me as it once seemed. What is more important is accepting what cannot be changed and trusting that God loves us and allowing God to handle the things that I can't control. That is where the peace that comes from, not from explanations. Life can still be very difficult for our family, but for me, peace has come from finally accepting verses like Romans 8:28, and that they do apply to even me. It states that all things work together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. This morning I'm wearing those earrings, and I've had the opportunity to discover that God does have a plan and a future and a hope for even me. As Pastor Rick often says, God never wastes a hurt. So during the past 6 years, I've tried to use my experiences to help others by being a part of starting Saddleback's Children's Disabilities Ministry. If you're facing the unique challenges involving a child with disabilities as a parent, or you're in despair about an ongoing problem that seems to have no solution, there are others here to help you. You're not alone. I have good news for you. No matter where you are going, whatever you're going through, you can experience God's peace, God's hope, and God's love if you'll only turn it all over to Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Most people respond to the uncontrollable, unexplainable, unchangeable situations of life with one of two responses, and both of them are fatal mistakes. Some of you, when you face an uncontrollable situation, you just try harder. You become more controlling. And the more your life gets out of control, the more controlling and compulsive you become. I'm gonna make this thing work. And you make everybody around you miserable. The more controlling you become, and the more compulsive you become, the more unhappy you become. And you try that. Others of you, you're at the exact opposite extreme, and that is, you just want to give up. I'm not going to try anymore. You give in to despair. You basically say, I'm a victim, and I will be a victim the rest of my life. And you swallow and wallow in a giant pity party, and you give in to despair. Both of those responses are foolish mistakes that don't work. They don't work. Instead, you need to take the third step in the path to peace. The third important decision, and that is the decision to surrender. Surrender to God's loving control. Surrender to God's loving control. The real reason you are in turmoil, you have so much anxiety, you have so much tension in your mind is because you're fighting a war with God in your mind. You think you know better. Now, every day you wake up, you have a decision to make. Who's going to be in charge of my life, me or God? Who's going to be in control of my life? Am I going to be in control, or is God going to be in control? And because you think you know better, there are verses in the Bible you just want to ignore. Well, I don't, those don't apply to me. You want to make up your own rules. You want to play your own game. You think you're God. You think you know better. And the more you take control yourself, the more miserable you become, and the more out of control your life becomes. Because it doesn't work. And you are at war with the real God when you try to play God. Now, the Bible is very clear about the results of these decisions. In Romans 8:6, it says this: if a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, then there is death. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, then there is life and peace. Those are your alternatives. Death or life and peace. Who's going to be in charge? Now, I don't know why you haven't thought this through, but it's obvious that in a war with God, you're going to lose. There's no way you're going to win that war when you're arguing with God. As the old saying says, your arms are too short to box with God. I remember when I was a kid, Muhammad Ali was the world champion, and he would go around saying, I am the greatest, I am the greatest. And I'll never forget that tragic scene a few years back at the Olympics when Ali was chosen to light the torch. Do you remember that? And he climbed up the stairs, and with a palsied Parkinson's shake in his hand, he could barely light that torch from the shaking in his body. Later in an interview, Ali said, God gave me that so I could remember that I'm not the greatest, but he is. Pretty good advice, pretty good attitude. Sometimes God places a limitation in our life in order to force us to our knees, to force us to depend on him, to prove that he is trustworthy. And sometimes God just flat out has to incapacitate us to show who's in control. You fight with God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And he loves you too much to let you win. Now, if you want to have deep, personal, satisfying peace of mind and heart and soul, you've got to surrender control of your life totally to God. How do you know if you've done that? Well, the evidence is this. The evidence of a surrendered life is always obedience. When God says do it, I do it. I don't care if I don't understand it, I do it. I don't care if anybody else is doing it, I do it. I don't care if it's popular, I do it. I don't care if it's hard or easy, I do it. If God says to do it in his word, whether it makes sense to me from a human point or not, I do it because I am surrendered to his control. And when I listen to his word and I follow his direction, what is the result of that? It is always the same. Peace. Look at the next verse. Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them. Now today, you may be in an uncontrollable circumstance. You may be married to an unchangeable person. You may be experiencing an unexplainable problem. But as Terry said, the good news is you can have peace. You can have the peace of God in your life. But first, you got to make peace with God. You can't have the peace of God until first you make peace with God. How do you do that? By surrendering your entire life in faith to Jesus Christ. Look at the next Bible verse. Since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now let me ask you a very frank question. Aren't you tired of being at war with God? Don't you realize that is the single greatest source of stress in your life? When you get up and say, I'm going to be God today, not God. What is the result of being in control of my own life? Worry, guilt, bitterness, resentment, anxiety, fear, fatigue, depression, despair. And many of you are familiar with those emotions. What are the results of having Jesus Christ be number one in my life and being fully surrendered to whatever he wants? Peace, power, strength, wisdom, purpose, meaning, eternal life, significance, joy. Then why don't we surrender to God every area of our lives? I'll tell you why. Because you're holding on to resentment with God. You say, me? I'm resentful of God? Yes, you are. Let me say it in another way. What is it that you're still angry with God about? That marriage that didn't work out? That marriage that never happened? That handicap in your life or that of a loved one? that birth defect, that big disappointment that you hoped would happen and it didn't, those plans that you planned that didn't go the way you planned them, that loved one who died before you thought it was their time because you know better than God, what are you still resentful with God about? Do you realize that when you hold on to your anger and you're saying, I know better than God, you are cutting off the very source of hope, healing, and help that you need in your own life. And you need to let it go. You need to realize that you're at war with God over that issue. And that has kept you from having the peace of God in your heart. Now, let me say it as clear as I know how to say it. There is not a single bad thing that has ever happened in your life that God could not have prevented. Nothing has happened to you, all the bad, nothing has happened that God could not have prevented if He'd wanted to. You say, well, then why didn't He? I don't know. I don't know all the details. I do know this. I do know that we live in a fallen world where you're free to make bad choices and so are others, and as a result, people get hurt. I do know that God has a greater purpose for your life than the problems you're going through. I do know that God is more interested in your character than in your comfort, and He wants to build you up. And I do know that if everything went great in your life, you would be a spoiled brat if you got everything you wanted. And I do know that God knows just as much how much you can handle in your life. And I do know that this is not heaven, that this is earth, that heaven is where we get the ultimate comfort. And I do know that if you think you're due a problem-free life on this earth, you're kidding yourself. And it isn't going to happen. And I do know that God has a plan for your life. And that plan involves pain because He wants you to grow. And I do know that He has already determined the rewards you will receive in heaven based on how you respond on this earth. And I do know that He loves you deeply. And I do know that He wants you to trust Him. And I do know that there is only one way to peace, through acceptance, trust, and surrender. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Dear Father, you know how I have resented the problems in my life. And you know how I have resisted the things that have caused me pain that I can't change. And you know that I've asked you many times for an explanation, but it's never come. Today, I want to stop fighting you over things I don't understand. Forgive me. I want to begin the path of personal peace. So I ask you for help. Help me to change the things that I can, but help me to accept the things that cannot be changed. Help me, Jesus, to trust in your loving care when things don't make sense, that you are a good God and that you have my best interest at heart. Today, I want to stop the war. And I make an unconditional surrender of all my life to your loving care and control. Please give me your strength and wisdom and peace and purpose. I want to make peace with God by faith so that I can have the peace of God through you, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope today. Hey, have you ever wondered how to cope with stress, rebound from failure, defeat depression, or have peace of mind? I know you have. I have too. And I want to tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions by Pastor Rick Warren. Now in it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges. He draws from examples of biblical characters that face the very same issues. He offers concise, practical, and eye-opening insights that you can apply right away. You're going to discover really simple ways to incorporate God's truth into your life, your family, and your job. It's going to allow you to move past hardships and experience a life filled with purpose and significance. And be sure to request a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today. When you give a gift to help take the life-transforming Word of God to the world through Daily Hope. This book is awesome, and it's our way of saying thanks for your support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.